Hi everybody, my name is Stevie B and I'm an alcoholic.
Stevie!
Member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice!
So nice to be here with you guys tonight. You know, I'm very sensitive to noise. I have like a noise thing. My wife has been living with it for, it'll be 10 years in 2 weeks. And yes, thank you for staying here. So I have this thing that it's been passed around generations in my family from, I'm not sure, after my mom, but it definitely got passed to my mom and then to me. And it's like a distracting thing. Like I can hear stuff everywhere. So as I'm like talking to you I can hear the front desk and the deal and the change. It's loud. So I have to constantly refocus myself on why I'm here. So if I seem a little distracted and my eyes are more crossed than they usually are, it's just because I'm looking around. You know, before I get into the message, I want to say there's a lot of new people here tonight. A lot of new people. And then there's some friends that are coming back. Different than a new person. Person coming back has a different set of things that they need to do than a person that's new. But either way, they're both, it's a long road from the place that you're at to the place of where some of the people, like this person that's picking up 26 years, it's a long road. But every single one of us do it one day at a time. Nobody in here is taking it one decade at a time or one month at a time, or we're all doing it one day at a time. So in a step series, if you're new and you're just coming in and someone said she had 5 days and so welcome home, it's so good to see you. One of my closest friends in the entire world that I just love is maybe too much. I need an Al-Anon program for him. He's just coming back and, you know, I don't want to say that I'm codependent over my closest friends, but when they get into, you know, one time I was scuba diving and this is a true story. One time I was scuba diving with them. They weren't scuba diving, but we were on the same ship. And I went down into this cave, and I'm not a cave diver. You have to be certified. And it was pitch black, and I just knew I was going to die. And I saw Mason's life flash before me. I'm not saying I'm codependent, but I got some issues. Step six. So, before I start on step six, I want to say to you, if you're just coming back or you're returning to the program, it's your first time in the program, a lot of this stuff in step six is going to sound like, I'm not there yet. And I want to tell you something, you don't need to be. Because when you're ready for step six, yeah, I see in this room exactly where you went. Yeah, this is definitely a page 69 room in here. When you're ready for step six, when you're entirely ready for step six, you'll be ready for step six. And when you're ready for step one, hopefully you're entirely ready for step one. Hopefully you do step one perfectly. And then one day at a time, you can pass the message on, and that's what we're doing in here. I want to tell you that I know that it's amazingly hot in here. It's like, I'd say 120, 130, 140 degrees. It's baking toast hot in here. But so thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, and I hope the message is exactly what you need. Because depending on if you're on step one or if you're on step six, if you've been doing this 5 days or if you've been doing this 36 years, the message hopefully will get through exactly what you need to hear tonight. Because when I was preparing for the message, it was exactly what I needed to hear tonight. I want to just acknowledge my friend Joshua, one of the guys that I sponsor. And if you just raise your hand so they know that I'm not making you up. Joshua wasn't able to get his 7-year medallion here last week, but let's just give him a round of applause. The big book says that he will give us the fellowship that we crave. He, God, will give us the fellowship that we crave. And the reason that I go around the room in the beginning and I shake hands to this specific group is because this is the fellowship that I crave. This specific fellowship. You guys. Joshua and Mason and 100 people in here I know and I really, really care about. And what's neat is that we go to meetings all during the week together. We go to meetings, some of us go to a meeting on Monday together, and this is our Tuesday night meeting, and I'd say 75% of the people here go to our Wednesday night meeting, and then we have our Thursday night Westside Men's Group.
Nice.
Yes, it is, absolutely. And then on Friday, a bunch of us go to different meetings together, and some of us go over to the CA meeting, which is off the chain, and you know, you can say anything in that meeting, which I really appreciate. It's no holds barred. Just shout it out. They love it. They clap for you. And then what's neat is some of us over here in these tables, we go to a couples meeting. We got not a couples meeting, but a family type of meeting where it's to the family afterwards in the 9th chapter of the Big Book. And some of our wives and friends and sisters and different family members get to go to that. That's on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, you know, a bunch of us go to meetings, and then, of course, you know that I go to church, and a bunch of us meet over there at church. Why do I even say that? Because this thing that we have, this recovery thing, is exciting, isn't it? I mean, I have, you know, when I first met Spike, and he's over there, and by the way, my good friend Richard Spike and Lori, they just got married. Welcome home.
Woo!
Just got married, just came back from their honeymoon, and when I first met him, his enthusiasm was exciting to me. You know, the enthusiasm that I saw in other people that were really doing this deal, I wanted that. And somehow, through the grace of God, I've gotten that. You know, we have a good time, don't we, David? We absolutely insist on enjoying life, because life is hard enough without enjoying your recovery. Am I right? So I want to be in here, and I want to be super excited. I can't wait to get to a meeting. I just can't wait to get to our next thing. I'm so excited about this. You know, the Lord has done so much for me, has so much for us, so many guys in here and gals in here, that we just want to tell everybody about it. It's in the Big Book. That's what Bill said. And I really believe that that carries on, you know, in meetings that are comfortable and meetings that are 140 degrees. I think that that carries right through all the way up to today. The excitement that we feel in the different programs that we're in the specific program we're in right now is Alcoholics Anonymous, I hope is contagious. I hope that from this meeting, that there's 100 excited people that get to go on and carry this message and do the deal and sponsor guys and gals and are so excited to get to the next thing. But in order to do that, in order to have something that people want, hopefully, you're going to take a 6th step. Hopefully, you're going to be ready to have God remove some of the defects that you come in here with. Hopefully, that you come in here, for the people that are new, you come in here, you know that you have a problem. Anyone in here know that I have a problem? I know I have a problem. I took a thorough 1st step. I have a problem. Anybody in here think that maybe they need some outside help for that problem? Maybe some like supernatural help for that problem? Maybe like a higher power? I need some help with that. Anybody in here made a decision to turn their life over to that creator of the universe or that higher power? I made a decision to turn my life and my will over. Now, if all that happens, if you get all that happening, then hopefully you're going to make a decision to do the 4th step. The 4th step is you're going to write down the stuff and you're going to get involved in your own life. You're going to write it down and you're going to want to share it with somebody. You make a decision to be a searching and fearless and morally mature in your own life, but you also make a decision to share that with another human being. A big deal. And then hopefully by then you're already in and you're starting to see some of the miracles happening, and you don't really, you care. You're going to probably do a half a 5th step. You know you're going to tell the guy or gal most of the stuff. You know that you're going to tell the 5th step, but you're going to definitely hold back some stuff. You're not going to be sharing all that stuff in the 5th step. But hopefully in the middle of the 5th step, and if you're with the right person, a spiritual mentor, hopefully a sponsor, you're in the 5th step, and you're starting to divulge some of that stuff, and the sponsor doesn't look shocked, and you tell them about the dog and the rooster, and you tell them all your stuff, and the sponsor's like, yeah, I hear you. And then all of a sudden you're leaving out of the 5th step, but you know you got one thing, maybe a whole group of things. So you're kind of walking out of the 5th step with a little limp. You got a little limp. You're walking out, and you almost feel the sunlight of the Spirit, but you're still limping. And you're walking out, and if you have a good sponsor, your sponsor sees the limp. And it says, come back here. Is there something else you want to tell me? And hopefully during that fearless and searching and sharing it and getting real and feeling a new freedom and a new happiness, hopefully right at that moment, you tell it all. You tell that last thing. The thing that you knew you were going to take to the grave and nobody knows, all through college, for whatever. You pledged your life to people, but you never told them that one thing. And here you are in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you tell the person. And then your back straightens out, and you kind of feel like, I really am in this thing. Because even though I said I was in this thing, I'm actually showing I'm in this thing. And then you start to get a new freedom. And you got a little skip in your step, and then your sponsor comes in. And here's what he says. Some amazing stuff. This is what he says, or her. And by the way, let me say something. You know, if you're positioned on that you go to Celebrate Recovery or you go to Narcotics Anonymous and you can't get what we're doing here in Alcoholics Anonymous, let me explain to you that there's only one half of one of the 12 steps that has anything to do about what we used to do. So there's 11 and a half steps that don't talk about alcohol. So this whole entire idea that there's one disease and I can't eat all that nonsense, you're still stuck on the second half of the first step. Because let me tell you something, Spike and I, we can go to Narcotics Anonymous on Wednesday, and I told you I go to Cocaine Anonymous if I want to, whatever. I go to Overeaters Anonymous when I go see my sister in Long Island, and I share there. Nice. Because I'm sharing about the solution of the other 11 and a half steps. I'm not focused on what I used to do and how much I used to do. That's not what I'm focused on today. Because you can see those people. They're still walking around like kind of like a hunchback. And they're like, I can't go to that meeting. No, man, I can't go there. You're not talking about, you know, I'm hardcore. I'm to the bone, man. I'm to the bone. I'm recovery to the bone. I'm Lord to the bone. I'm in solution to the bone. I can go anywhere. Last week we had Paul E. here. If it wasn't for Paul E. and guys like Paul E. and guys like Steve, the other program wouldn't even be, you know. And then they go to both programs. We go to all things. We're just excited about what God is doing in our lives. So then our sponsor says to us, let's open up the big book. We feel we are on a broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. We just shared that last thing. And then he says, he or she says, we're on a broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Okay, I like that. Good, I'm on the right page. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 steps or proposals that always confused me. They put the word proposals in there. To me, I think they're talking about the first 5 steps. We ask if we omitted anything. We are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man. Oh. Now, when they wrote that, they knew that we needed to unload some stuff. I mean, you heard Larry picking up 5 years. Can you imagine him carrying around the stuff he came in here with? He needed to unload some stuff. We shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Have we skipped any of the steps? Have we, what are they talking about, mortar, and they're talking about cement. Have we skimped on the cement? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Did we half measure any of the first 5 steps? We carefully review it. If we didn't, we can move on. Hopefully you've left everything in the 5th step. We turn to the next page. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which have admitted are objectionable. Let me just say that line again. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to have God remove all of the things which are objectionable? Now, if you can answer ready for that, you can move on and you get excited. You get excited. The next line says, can God now take them all, everyone? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We what? We pray for the willingness. We ask for the willingness. And then we go back to the book because we know that the next part of Six Step in the Big Book is going to be off the charts. We go to the next part of the Big Book. We know it's going to be off the charts. And then we realize there's nothing there. Oh, no. I must have took that page out. Is it possible that step six is only one paragraph? Is it possible the step that separates the men from the boys and the girls from the ladies, is it possible it's only a half a paragraph? Now, let me tell you how you know if you're working with a sponsor, or how you know if you just have a sponsor by name. You won't know that the sixth step is like the key to the rest of the program if you're doing it on your own. And the last time around, in my first 7 years of sobriety, I told you I had Myron as my sponsor, but when it came up to this part, I kind of like dismissed Myron from hearing this step, and I decided to go with an outside counsel for this step. Because I figured my stuff was a little bit more, not sick, but I thought my stuff was more intelligent than my sponsor would really understand. I needed to go for professional counseling. So when it came to finishing the fifth step, and I did a fairly decent half of fifth step, and when it came to finishing that, and I really didn't have any guidance from my sponsor, I took the big book down and I figured I had just worked the fifth step on my own, the fourth step on my own, so I figured the sixth step would be a breeze. I realized they didn't have any directions to the sixth step. I realized you actually need to be plugged into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and be around people that come before you to understand what the sixth step's all about. Now, let me say something. If you don't know what I'm talking about right here, it doesn't matter. Because hopefully you're going to get a sponsor that understands what I'm talking about. But they don't really elaborate it on too much. They do say some heavy stuff. They do say that this is the deal, that we emphasize willingness, that we have to let him to remove these defects. They talk about this being indispensable, and then that's it. And there was people staying sober. There was people staying sober, and there was people that were getting well, and there was people that had what we wanted, but I'm going to tell you what they did. They realized 15 years later that they needed to add some information for us about the sixth step. Because if you do what I did the first time around and you just skim through the sixth step, because I figured if they only wrote a paragraph on it, it probably wasn't that important. Anybody in here ever thought that? If they only wrote a paragraph, it's probably not that important. So I kind of figured it really wasn't that important. Plus, I'm one of these people that after they finished a lot of work, kind of like rest on my, I just kind of like coast. So since I had just finished the fifth step and the person that I did with kind of thought I did an okay job, and I was like, whoo. You know, so I took the book off the shelf like it said, and I put the book right back on the shelf. I saw that there was no more writing to be done, and I figured the sixth step was kind of, I was going to get to it later. And let me tell you when I thought about the sixth step again, when I was in treatment 3 years later. That's when I thought about the sixth step. And I realized the sixth step is really, listen to this line. This is the step that separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. This is really where it's at. If you are not ready to have God remove all of your defects, you're not ready to go on, at least in my experience. Now, I know people, including people that I really respect, they've been sober since, you know, since they were writing this thing. And a lot of those people are happy, joyous, and free. I also know people that have been around since papyrus was the paper of choice. And those people, I've seen some of those people that have been, you know, sober forever. And I want to tell you, I can tell that they're walking around with some of the same defects that they came in here with. You know, they were ready to have some of the defects removed, but they didn't actually read this. Let me read this to you again, just in case you're not seeing what I'm saying. There's a gigantic word in this. Where's Anthony? There's a gigantic word in the sixth step. The biggest word of them all. What's that word? What do you think I'm going to say?
All.
There's a gigantic word in the sixth step. People just glance over it. They just pass right through it. They hear defects. Matter of fact, a lot of people get six and seven confused. I'm not sure if that's the one with the defects or if that's the one with the shortcomings. I'm not sure if it's the same thing. It looked to me like there's not a lot of meat and potatoes in there. I'm going to go right to the ninth step. I'm probably going to start making amends, and then I'm going to take meetings in the treatment centers. That's kind of like the way that as soon as you get to the sixth step, you kind of like fast forward. It's like when that's actually the place where we need to dig in. We need to press in. That's the place where it really gets exciting. Let me tell you something. You look around the room. The guys, I don't know if John Platt's here tonight, but look around the room at people that have 20 years, 20 plus years, and walk around happy, joyous, and free. I guarantee you that they're not the same people that they came in as. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that they let God remove their defects of character. Let me read this line to you. Of course, the often disputed question of whether... Oh, first of all, let me back up. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. They write that down. Any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step six in their lives without any reservations whatsoever has indeed come a long way with spirituality. You see, this is the line. This is the thing that talks about daily giving it over. Listen to this. Repeatedly, step six on all of our defects. You see, we shared it with a sponsor. Is anybody in here melting as I speak? I'm just melting up here. So if you just see me wither away, just please come up and give me some water. We share this fifth step with our sponsor, and then he shows us where our part is in it, or he shows us where our part is, and then starts saying, thank you so much, and then starts saying to that we have defects. And some of these defects, if you really want to talk about them, they have to be God-given instincts that have gone astray. You know, I have this thing called pagels. Have you ever heard of pagels? Wait, I'm going to let you be with that for a moment. I don't know what I want, Jimmy. It's possible I might not make it through this sixth step. But listen. Pagels. Listen to this. Pagels. Pride. Anger. Greed. Gluttony. Envy. Sloth. And overheating. Lust. And lust. You see how I almost forgot the most important one? Lust. I always try to throw that one out. Pagels. You ready? Pride. Anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, sloth. Those are some serious words. That's not like something that we talk about all the time. Are you ready to have God remove those defects of character? That's going to be the key right there. Because if you hear about people in meetings and they're talking stuff like this, man, I have been working on my lust for 10 years. I have been working on my patience for 6 months. Man, I can't believe that God is not helping me with my envy. How much are you willing to turn it over? How much are you willing to actually ask the Creator to take it away? Well, I am willing. I'm not sure if I'm entirely willing. I definitely see where possibly... some of the major ones, I know that I'm definitely ready to have God remove my alcoholism, my drug addiction. But, you know, I'm sober today. I really do feel like I can spend 5 days a week at the casino. And I know that the meeting that I'm having on Friday nights at the Cheetah Club, maybe it's not sanctioned by the 12 and 12, but I'm not drinking. I'm not drinking. I'm sober today. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. There's people inside this room now, I'm looking over, that have 18, 20, 15, 7, a couple people with under 3 years, and I see these people walking around happy, joyous, and free. It's not because they're good people. It's not because they came in here well-adjusted. It's not because they came in here with a high set of morals. They came in here and they decided to take this program seriously. They decided to actually turn some of this stuff over. How would you like to walk around with a new freedom? How would you like to have a skip in your step? I spoke to you about that last week on the fifth step. And I don't believe this to be, I don't believe that to be like some far out, only for a few of us. That's only for John and Rich and a couple people in here and that have been doing this forever. Or Jimmy. No, it's for all of us. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. How many people in here can honestly say that they thoroughly follow their path? Listen, it says that progress, not perfection, right? It says progress, not perfection. But why shoot for the progress? Why not shoot for the perfection? And then when we fall short, say, you know what? Progress, not perfection. But at least I was trying to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us in a program, we shoot for mediocrity and we fall way short from there. We're shooting like for half measures. We're like, well, I think half measures should at least give me half. I'm of that belief. I'm going to shoot. I'm going to the half measures group. I want to just shoot. I'm going to shoot very low. I'm shooting for the needs. And then if I fall short from there, at least I'm surrounded by a bunch of mediocrities. I want to shoot for the top shelf, you know, the perfection department, because we're going to fall drastically short from there, but at least we'll be close to what God intended for us, okay? Now, where am I getting this? Am I just making this stuff up? Is it just, am I just running off up here? Does it say any of this in the sixth step? Does it say if we ask God, we'll certainly forgive our derelictions? Does it say, but in no case does he render us white as snow? Does the next line say, and he won't keep us there without our cooperation? Which means daily, daily, daily surrender, daily surrender. It also means that you're going to have to take an inventory. It also means that you're going to have a sponsor. It also means you're going to have to be serious about this thing. Now, let me tell you something. This is not about staying sober. Because you can see some people, you know, that are like staying sober and they got like, you know, like the hunch in their back and they got faces that look like, you could tell they've been sober for forever. This is not about staying sober. This is not the stay sober step. You can stay miserably sober to the end of your life. Okay? People that are, let me just say something. People that are serial killers even take a break for 10 to 20 years sometimes. So length of sobriety is not what we're talking about in here. We're talking about quality of life. We're talking about a happiness. We're talking about not being the same person you came in here with. We're talking about when people come and visit you, because you live in Florida, some people visit you, and they look at you and they say, you're not the same person that you were before. And they're waiting for the next shoe to drop. They're waiting for you to, they don't even believe you. They think that at any time you're just going to be like pulling people out of a car. All right, that's my story, but I'm saying other people have their other stuff. So step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. It's AA's way of stating that the best possible attitude one can take in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job, a few of them may be, but with most of them, we shall have to be content with patient improvement. This is what they're talking about there. Some of the stuff we come in here with, our sponsors, we ask our sponsors, and our sponsor says, get on your knees. How many people's sponsors in here says, get on their knee? My sponsor said, get on your knees. I said, Jerry, but I'm Catholic, and I had a lot of years of Catholicism and forced Catholicism, and I'm not really going to do the knees thing. And I called him from treatment, and I told you I had just relapsed, and Jerry said to me, you're going to get on your knees. If you want me to sponsor, you're going to ask God to keep you sober in the morning. And at night, you're going to ask him to, and you're going to thank him at night. And don't give me this Catholic thing, because I'm a Jewish guy from Queens, and I'm telling you to do it because that's what my sponsor said, do it. And so I did it. And I was doing that in the treatment center, and then after I got out of the treatment center and I moved in with these two guys, I was doing it in our halfway house. And then I was following, I was going down with these guys to go listen to Russell speak, and I was doing it down there. And about 4 or 5 or 6 weeks into when we were living together, I get this bright idea. I'm thinking to myself, I could probably get high one more time. I'm sober like 4 weeks, and you know, Mason's working, and I don't know what you were doing, but we were all living together in the house and working at the restaurant, and I figured, listen, I'm gonna get high one more time, because I was sober 4 weeks, and somehow I made up this thing in my mind where I could go, and first of all, I was broke, so I had to call my wife. I just told you we're celebrating 10-year marriage anniversary this month, right? But that was when back when we had 2 years. And I was living in the halfway house, as I said, and I called my wife. Let me just say something. My friend John G is here tonight, and he gave me my first speaking engagement ever after I came back from relapse. Right here in this room, we all came over here, so I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight, John. So I get this idea that I can get high one more time, and I kind of have like a halfway house shuffle, which means like I've been sober for 4 weeks, and so I've been shaving and I've been eating, and even though I have no money, I kind of feel good about myself. You know, because after you haven't been eating for like 6 or 7 weeks and then you start eating, I don't know, I guess I had some answers and I figured that I had some control over my using. So I made a decision that day, in the shower, I looked at my watch and I said, you know what, it's only 9 o'clock. I could definitely probably go and get high maybe at 12 o'clock and go pick up some stuff. Not even at 12 o'clock. I'm going to start getting high at 10:30-ish, and then I'll finish at 12:30. Then I'm going to go over to that bar on Broward Boulevard that I always see that has like those 40-cent 9 drinks. And I'm going to go to that bar, and I'm going to drink at that bar. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a taxi, because I'll probably still have money for a taxi. And I'm going to take a taxi back over to the halfway house, and I'm going to go get my toothbrush, and I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to take some mouthwash. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to shave. And I'm just want to get one more high in. I don't want to really relapse and just get out of the program, but I just want to get high one more time. And I figured I had a month, and probably that would enable me to kind of keep it all compact and maybe, you know, have time limits on my getting high, and maybe I would only buy like $18 worth of crack and not a lot, and I would kind of all put it together in one afternoon, and then by the time everybody came home, we'd go down to see Russell speak. I kind of thought maybe that night we'd go see Russell speak. I think that would be, I thought that'd be fine. Kind of like when you go to the zoo. I was like, I have an out day at the zoo. That's what I thought. So I figured this is going to be my day off. You know what I mean? Just, I owe it to myself. I've been sober 4 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Go to meetings and working a couple steps and praying on my knees in the morning. And I wanted to be good to myself, give myself a day off. So I call up my wife. And she had allowed me to be in the halfway house that she paid for, as long as I didn't break the restraining order that she had out on me. And that means that she would allow me to come around the days that she chose that I could come around, whenever that would be, and I wouldn't harass her. But this morning I felt would be different. So I called her up and I said to her, I said, Sandy, you know, I don't have a cell phone, and I think that I should have a cell phone. And I picked out the cell phone, and it's a $299 cell phone. That was in 2001, 2002. So I said, I think I need a $299 cell phone. And because it will hold a lot of numbers, and I could call people, and I could call my sponsor, and it had a thing, but it seemed reasonable to me. Now, really, what I was saying is I wanted to have a cell phone that was $299, so I could use like $9 of it for the cell phone and $291 of it to get high for that afternoon. So I call her up. And I say to my wife, can I have the cell phone? And my wife says, hold on a second. And she gets on the other line and she calls her Al-Anon sponsor that moment. I didn't know my wife was an Al-Anon. I didn't think she knew anything about what was going on. And she calls her Al-Anon sponsor, and her Al-Anon sponsor says, yeah, give them the $299. Because let's find out with 1 month of sobriety exactly what his intentions are. So we don't have to stay around and wait and play this game for another 9 months so we can relapse again before we go ahead with the divorce papers that she had already drawn up with my parents. So they give me the money. That's wrong. Isn't it just to do that? It's a terrible thing. And they give me the money. She deposits the money on the card, the money card she gives me. And I rush down to the Sprint store on Federal Highway, and I know what's going to happen, and I know I'm going to get high. And I rush in, and the first guy behind the counter, and I look at him, and I say, give me the cheapest cell phone you got, and I need to be out of here in 15 minutes. And I was probably nasty-faced, and my stomach was moving. You know, I had to probably go to the bathroom. I'm like, ah! Not the pillar of serenity that you see me here now, you know, for. You see, my sponsor, he had been telling me I needed to get on my knees in the morning and ask God to keep me sober. And my sponsor said that I needed to thank him at night. I needed to not to be control of my life, but my best thinking was that 1 month of sobriety, I could actually kick a day off like going to the zoo. And I walked to that guy and I said to him, I need to get the cheapest cell phone because I wanted to call my wife from the Sprint store and tell her I was going to a meeting so she wouldn't alert the halfway house. That's why I needed the cell phone. And the guy behind the counter at the cell phone store place says to me, hey, Stevie B, welcome back. It's so good to see you. I saw you yesterday at Victory. Welcome back. And he shakes my hand, and Drew takes me outside, and he happens to be a member of Victory, and buys me a cup of coffee, and we sit, and I don't get high, and I don't go out. And God intervenes in my life, because I wasn't ready, but he was ready. Just the simple act of turning it over, just the simple act of not being in control, just the simple act of following through on at least being entirely ready for him to remove the defect of me to use, I was ready. And even though I was taking it back, he wasn't letting go. See, you don't know what's in store for you. You don't know what's behind the next cell phone counter. You don't know the home group that you're going to meet at 4 years of sobriety, or the closest friends that you talk to on a daily basis through thick and thin. You don't know the most magical wife or husband or boyfriend that you're going to get involved with that's actually going to be the biggest supporter in your life, that doesn't miss a meeting that you speak at even though it has a million other things that she can do. You don't know what your life is going to be about. But let me tell you something. He does. And it says it all through here. I'm not making like a he does thing. The entire step in the 12 by 12 talks about that he does. The entire step in the 12 by 12 says that in order to get closer to our Creator, we have to have him, we have to be willing to allow him to take away those defects in our life one at a time. I'm not saying that we're always going to be ready to have all of our defects on all of the days. But if you're not willing to have any of the defects of any of the days at any time, what exactly step are you working? I mean, do you think the miracles are going to come with you carrying in the same defects, the same bag of tricks that you came in here with as a sober, as a horse thief, and then you come become a sober horse thief and you think that the bag of tricks are just going to dismantle themselves? You come in as a liar, a cheater, a thief, a pervert, whatever your deal is, and you think that that's just going to diffuse out of the bag of tricks? Well, let me tell you something. That's not what step six says in here. Step six says that we were entirely ready to have God remove all of our defects of character. And he can do that one day at a time if you let him. Thanks for letting me share.
Doing the reading, Donna for doing the trip, and most of all, I'd like to thank Stevie B for bringing the six. Yeah.